People have been arriving from Sudan already starting last July 2023. People started moving in to Western Bahr el-Ghazal. Based on our assessments and visits and, of course, our operation, we're talking about around 2,300 families, which is around 14,000 people that we identified that were amongst the most vulnerable. These people are both refugees, meaning people fleeing Sudan, but not originally from South Sudan, and returnees, meaning people who lived in Sudan but have ties and connections to South Sudan. They were originally from here. Most of them arrived with the clothes on their back, very few supplies, almost nothing, basically, which added to the vulnerability of this population in Bora Medina, where they settled, where actually they arrived in masses, meaning that they surpass the local population who currently lives there by 4 to 4.5 times.
So oh, you that's can imagine, quite remarkable.
It is a very large inflow of people that also put a lot of strain on the host population, knowing that it almost multiplied the total population by 4 to 4.5 times.
Something interesting that stood out to me was that there were people, South Sudanese, who fled violence in South Sudan some years back when the civil war was going on. They crossed the border into Sudan. Now they are being displaced again by the violence in Darfur and in Sudan at large. Exactly. They're being forced to cross back, you know, into South Sudan.
Yes, exactly. And actually, when we spoke to, we spoke to a lot of people in Bora Medina. We were there for, like I said, almost during a month. We were more or less permanently present, our teams. Some of the feedback we're getting from people who are returnees, many of the people we spoke to don't want to go back. They fear a return to Sudan, even if the situation would improve. Whereas the refugees, many of them have expressed, of course, a willingness to return home, where they have their roots, their networks, and their homes. So we'll see what happens in the near future. What is certain that is that there could, of course, be more people coming into that area.
You have these thousands of people coming into Bora Medina in Raja County, Western Bahr el-Ghazal State, where local resources are already strained and the area struggles with service provision. And these people, you say, they arrive with the clothes on their backs, so they need everything from food, water, shelter, healthcare. Tell me about that situation.
As I said, most people came with very little resources. Some came with literally the clothes on their back. Others came with the little items they could gather. But of course, it was not sufficient, and it's never sufficient, unfortunately, in these situations to maintain a dignified level of living. There has been, of course, coping mechanisms developed. People have found ways to at least have some food. In our initial assessments, people had less than 2 meals a day before our assistance. One of the elements of our response was to bring food for the households to last them for a while. When it comes to clothes and other items that are lacking, we also brought that. So we brought essential household items, clothes, blankets, buckets, basic things that you need to live a life in that area, to gather water, to have a change of clothes, and to be able to sleep correctly.
I'm glad you got into your response plan and strategies already. What are some of the limitations, some of the challenges you're facing when you're trying to provide a response to this humanitarian situation?
Now, there are a few challenges. The number one challenge is of course, the remoteness of this area and other areas where refugees and returnees have grouped together. Bora Medina is very far away. It takes a lot of resources from a humanitarian actor such as the ICRC to organize this, which means that during the time that we are supporting the vulnerable population in Bora Medina, we cannot use those resources for other activities. Second challenge is, of course, resources when it comes to funding. ICRC in South Sudan has drastically reduced its presence and setup in the country. Last year, we have reduced significantly our budget due to an overall crisis in humanitarian funding. This has made us become much more intentional in our choices, and we have to focus on the most urgent needs where we have an added value in the country as a whole.